Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
For a small fee of $499.95, you can be featured in
that's
our
a
next.
Paid placement
so
too.
I get this to be out there, my narrative, my legacy for my children and my grandchildren, always in the cloud or whatever that thing is called.
Right, forever.
And I get a plaque commemorating this. And in return, they want, I think the number was $969.
Yeah.
And I said, no.
No.
And then I was told, well, we could be flexible.
What, how about a dollar?
You know.
No one ever takes the first offer.
What's in your pocket right now?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. I'm going to be very distracted today because I am watching the Ryder Cup as I begin this show. And the Ryder Cup is obviously going to be on through the duration of this show. And so if you ever hear a big gap in what I'm saying,
it's because
I looked
shot.
Up at Tiger or something
can go back
like that.
And edit that.
Yeah, Gary Braun is here. Kevin is here. That's so great for Kevin to come in and do the news. Michael Kornheiser is here. And he brought the baby boy Bootsy,
yes.
Which is wonderful. Nigel is here to produce the show, to run the board, not to do the news because Kevin will do the news. And we're going to...
The news is good. This is odd.
First of all, we are at Chatter. We have a big crowd.
Kevin
thank you very
as a
much.
Guest today.
Yeah. We're Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Streets Northwest in Friendship Heights. We're going to open the show a little bit differently because of the hearing yesterday. We wanted to get Howard Fineman, the intergalactic Howard Fineman, on the air. So the open of the show will be basically different. It's going to be Howard. Later in the show, we'll do news, we'll do sports, we'll do a whole bunch of things. But let us start with Howard Fineman of NBC, and the first thing I think you have to talk about, or anybody has to talk about, is two very, very strong performances by Dr. Blasey Ford and by Brett Kavanaugh. Didn't you think very strong performances?
Very strong and utterly different, Tony.
Yes.
And by the way, they both used the phrase 100% as to their certainty.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm not really good at math, but that's a difficult equation.
I can
equation.
Help you with that, Howard.
That's a difficult equation to solve. They were utterly different in their approaches. Christine Blasey Ford was pretty calm. She was reticent, but factual. She was polite. She was particular and vivid to a point where it was took your breath away in her expression of her own emotions at the time and the details of the incident she describes. So she was the calm one. Brett Kavanaugh, you know, turned the Senate hearing practically into a barroom brawl. He was passionate. He was angry. He was confrontational. Key confrontation, I think, being with Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, where she said, "Have you ever been blackout drunk?" And he turns and says, "Have you?" Perhaps forgetting that her father is an alcoholic and a member of AA at the age of 90. But he was pretty convincing, too. He was passionate in his denial. You know, he raised a lot of questions and sort of semi-paranoid concerns about a vast conspiracy against him. But he was righteously indignant in a way that, despite his sometimes argumentative nature, was pretty convincing too.
So when you say, and I'm glad you used that phrase, you know, that there was a conspiracy against him. I mean, I think you do that for 1600 Pennsylvania.
Oh, no question. That's, I mean, in a certain, well, it's very funny. I think in the first with Ford, Blasey Ford, her audience, in addition to the whole country and the whole world, were basically three Republican senators.
That's right.
It was Susan Collins of Maine, it was Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Jeff Flake of Arizona. Because if two of those three vote against Kavanaugh, he's finished. With Kavanaugh, the audience was an audience of one.
Yes.
The audience is Donald
yes.
Trump.
Yes.
And he had to show, by the way, I know appellate, I know some judges, and I know appellate lawyers who've practiced before him, who went to Yale Law School with him, who were shocked at his performance yesterday. They had never seen him act that way. And he was both righteously indignant and strategic because he was trying to impress Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump evaluates everything on two bases: how nasty you are and how good you are on television shaping the story the way you want it to be shaped. And I've got to say that Kavanaugh, you know, he overrode some, he mischaracterized some testimony of others. He oversold some of these documents that other people have signed, including the one from Mark Judge, who I assume is hiding in your basement at this point.
Not in my basement, but apparently in Bethany. Apparently in Bethany Beach, yeah.
Donald Trump was duly impressed. When as soon as Kavanaugh was finished, Trump came out with a horn blast of a tweet defending him. And I think the strategy all along by Trump and by Mitch McConnell has been to ram this thing if they possibly can. And it's the question whether they can.
So what was interesting to me, and the tone with obviously with both witnesses was extraordinarily different. But what's interesting to me is that for political reasons, for optic reasons, the Republicans opted to have a career prosecutor who's been involved with sex crimes, a woman, Sharon Mitchell, I think her name is. Had her question Dr. Ford, and did so in a very particular manner, but a very kind manner, it seemed to me. And then, of course, after that, the Democrats came out and just said, let's go back to high school. How drunk were you every single day of your life? And it was much more antagonistic. What did you think of the way the attorney questioned Dr. Ford? Did you think it was worth it by the Republicans?
Well, the Republicans were too chicken. I'm sorry to use such a technical term, but too scared to be on the same videotape questioning Christine Blasey Ford. Because depending on how things go, and as far as many women voters in general, they don't want to be seen on a videotape that can end up in a TV ad grilling this poor woman.
Yes.
So they brought in somebody. They said nothing. If you recall, the 11 white men on the Republican side said absolutely nothing to Christine Blasey Ford except for the chairman, Chuck
who welcomed her and thanked her for her appearance and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, that was just pro forma. So they brought in Rachel Mitchell to do the questioning, and I thought she would. Rachel Mitchell was professional, and it allowed for the Blasey Ford testimony to be quite coherent, to be cooperative, to be pretty vivid and convincing. I mean, nobody, even on the other side, could sort of deny the vividness and the compelling nature of her testimony. They were reduced to saying, well, I guess something happened, but it wasn't me. But they didn't deny the events. But then when they tried to use Mitchell to interview Kavanaugh,
no, they yanked her. No, they yanked her. That was it. That was the end of that. So here's, I guess, here's what I wonder about. You have a law degree.
Yes.
I spoke to a couple of people yesterday who have law degrees. And I gave my opinion as to what I believed and what I didn't necessarily believe.
Mm-hmm.
But both the people that I talked to last night said this. If you believe Dr. Blasey Ford, it's very hard to then believe Kavanaugh. One assumes that somebody's lying. But what they both said was, did he create reasonable doubt in your mind that this was entirely true? And I had to say yes. I had to say yes, because I felt that he was convincing. My argument with him was something of a different nature. It was the fiery way you did this, the angry way you did this. Is this what you want for the temperament of a judge on the Supreme Court? Is this really what you want? That seems to me to be a separate issue, and I wonder if you could take care of both of what things I'm saying.
Well, I think this isn't a trial. It isn't a courtroom. And you need to judge the totality of the person who is been nominated for what is arguably, right after the president, the most important job in the United States, which is to be a Supreme Court justice. And let's add to it the fact that if Kavanaugh gets on the court, he will cement a very strong conservative majority that's likely to rule for quite some time. So there's incredibly high stakes. It's not about reasonable doubt in the legal sense. It's about, let's look at this guy in totality, given what we know right this minute, and should we advise the president and consent to putting this guy on the court, knowing everything we know about him? And I do think he won Donald Trump's support at the cost of raising more questions about his character and his control and, as you say, his judicial temperament. As I right. said, the judges who practiced in front, the lawyers who practiced in front of him, and some other judges I know, were utterly shocked to see this side of him that they hadn't seen before.
He wants the job.
On the other hand, he wants the job,
yeah.
and he acted to some extent like a guy who was saying, at this moment, friends, I am entitled to this job. I'm having this job unfairly yanked from me. And he's entitled to be angry because he's clearly organized his life around achieving this goal. And don't forget, he's been a huge factor in the whole Federalist Society movement to change the nature mm-hmm. and substance of the courts. He's been a sort of ward boss in that effort. And this is the culmination of his life, and he made it sound as though he deserved it. And maybe he does. Maybe he does. Because it's the Democrats have raised enough questions about their handling of this. And by the way, I thought they handled it terribly, and I thought, I hate to say this, Tony, because you and I are getting older, but there needs to be an age limit in the Senate, it seems to me.
Grassley and Feinstein.
I'll just leave it at that.
I guess
the key, it was very, very political, and Lindsey Graham is getting all the run today because of him lashing out. The Republicans they were very wise not to ever attack Dr. Ford, but they attacked Dianne Feinstein and all of her colleagues
right.
endlessly, which seemed to me to have some legitimacy as to why you didn't disclose this thing before. I, like many others, think, okay, now have the FBI investigation.
Well, what is it? Let me ask you a question. What created reasonable doubt in your mind?
The strength of his, he just said, look, I didn't do this. I've never done this. I didn't do it. Okay, and
right,
and he was strong in that.
I agree, and I agree with that. I think it's going to be up to the ABA, which still has some clout in this situation in these cases, called for a week delay to look into everything. I do think the fact that Mark Judge, who we were joking about before, was not somehow brought in to testify.
How do they do that? How do they not subpoena this guy?
How? It's outrageous. That alone, to me, as a pretty neutral observer here, I try to be, is outrageous. This is a guy who was said to be in the room, who is supposedly involved in a couple of different of these allegations, and for him to just send in a letter saying, you know, I don't remember and I don't want to talk, goodbye, I'm taking my comic books and going to the Eastern Shore, is an outrage to any kind of due process for both sides in this case.
So let's
by the way, on the other side, Tony, you talked to a lot of women. You know, this was a huge, huge cultural moment all the way around. And I think a lot of women were left in tears watching this, both in pride for Blasey Ford, but also later as the day wore on, for a sense that they were being steamrollered here. And it's interesting, if Kavanaugh is, and Chuck Todd made this point a couple times on TV yesterday, if Blasey Ford is, I mean, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, the Democrats are going to have the organizing tool of all time for November. On the other hand, if Kavanaugh is defeated, then the Trump forces are going to have the organizing tool of all time in November. So it couldn't be a higher stakes thing politically.
So let's get to the sports aspect of this show, where we predict winners and losers.
Right.
I'm going to assume that you believe that he gets voted out of committee.
Today.
I can't imagine he won't get voted out of committee, and Flake has a vote in that. So I'm going to ask you, do you think he'll be confirmed? Because I do.
Yeah, I think that the pressure, well, first of all, in sports terms, there are a couple of Democrats here who could conceivably go over to the Trump.
Manchin is one from
Joe
West Virginia.
Joe Manchin, I mean, there's got to be another coal-fired power plant. There's got to be a dam. There's got to be something in West Virginia they can give Joe Manchin. and essentially say, okay, Joe, we're letting you off the hook. You can get reelected in a state that I, Donald Trump, won by 40 points. So there's Manchin would be the one to look at. There may be another one or two, but I think he's the main one. I think I'm not sure about Flake. They can lose one. They can lose, assuming all the Democrats stick with their side. The Republicans can lose just one. I think my guess is going to be that's Murkowski, but I think that Collins and Flake somehow may stick.
Yeah,
it's close. It's really close, Tony. By the way, when they vote in the committee. It's conceivable Flake could vote no, but they would still find a way to get the vote to the floor, and then there'll be a key procedural vote over the weekend, so we'll know. I think it's either going to be, I guess I'd have to say that they're going to muscle these Republicans in a way to get it done. There's too much at stake for Donald Trump. There's too much at stake for McConnell. I don't see Collins and Murkowski being able to resist the pressure, but we'll, you know, maybe. I'd have to say that it's likely he'll get it.
Thank you, Howard.
Okay,
thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Howard Fineman, boys and girls, with an expert opinion on this that I don't have. I just have the dopey opinion. But I watched as much as I could while I was working on. I think at the PTI office, everybody sort of was watching, and I was making jokes because that's really what I do.
Can you tell some of them here?
No, completely inappropriate jokes, and that's just sort of what I do. And I was looked at by the others like, could the old man shut up at some point? All right, let us get out of here now, and let us come back with Ann Hornaday. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'm going to do the Lowe's ad now. The baby boy Bootsy is with Michael. They're not here anymore. I usually depend on Michael to talk about DIY and stuff like that and all the projects that he has around the house. Okay, they came back in. Lowe's is Lowe's is my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. Michael, what are some of the projects I have tackled recently that you can remember?
This is not so much a DIY, but we are going to be reseeding your lawn.
Yes.
That's a do-it-yourself project.
That's something I can do because I can put seed in my hand and throw it down. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are mechanics tool sets and gunmetal finish. What is so great about that? The gunmetal finish, the gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long lasting, which is why you buy them. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, it makes them easier to clean. Now, Lowe's has a 51-piece and an 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. I don't know why you'd buy the 51 when you could get the 81.
It's no reason.
Yeah, the set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. The extreme is capitalized. So if one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet. It's 3-degree arc swing. You don't know what that does? I do. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. The Socialite is here. The Socialite does many do-it-yourself projects.
Oh, yes, famous
and
for
And by
it.
Do-it-yourself projects, I mean the Socialite, like me, gets on the phone and calls
call
someone
somebody.
And says, could
well,
you fix this?
Doing it yourself.
Could you fix this? With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any faster. It's like the Socialite, when he buys a car, gets in an accident within the first 2 or 3 days, so he doesn't have to worry about the car being pristine anymore. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. So shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Something For You. It's sent us by Rodney Devinger, Claremont, New Hampshire. My name is Rodney. I'm a millennial little from New Hampshire. I've made the pilgrimage to Chatter and wanted to further contribute to the show by presenting some amazing new music. I'm a huge fan of a band called Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. That's an interesting name. They're a Maryland-based band that met while going to college at the University of Maryland. They're probably best described as a psychedelic funk band. They just released a new album last year called Pizzazz, and they start a fall tour tomorrow. They'll be playing all over the United States. Pigeons are an up-and-coming act that have played festivals with larger acts, too, including one of Nigel's favorites, Dead & Company.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a member of their most dedicated fans, and we call ourselves The Flock. Isn't that nice?
That's very lovely.
Because of the pigeons.
Yeah, a flock of pigeons.
Very, very nice. Thank you very much for that. That's a lovely tune. Ann Hornaday joins us now. Ann has a one movie, one documentary. But first, we're going to talk again about Jane Fonda a little bit, okay? Because yeah. I saw about an hour of the special. I didn't see all of it. The television show. Is that on Showtime? It's HBO, right?
It's HBO.
It's fantastically good.
Right?
It's so good. It's
excellent.
So good.
Thank you.
And it is... It gives, it seems to me, a very well-rounded view of Jane Fonda, warts and all. I mean, I just think it's really great. You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I really think it's above and beyond. I'm so glad you caught it.
It's great.
And I'm so glad you have the same reaction I did, because I agree. I think it goes above and beyond that usual celebrity biopic. The way it's structured, the way, and I think it has a lot to do with her own candor and her willingness just to lay it out there. And clearly she's done a lot of self-examination and given a lot of thought to her life, and it all comes right out there. I was just mesmerized by it.
Me too. I mean, the Tom Hayden stuff, I mean, the kids and everything. It's not like...
Well,
it,
the visit with Ted when she goes back to farm, the ranch in Montana.
You know what? I mean, it's just great. It's almost as if she's saying, I'm 80. Everybody sees everything I've done. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest here.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I talked to her, when I went to New York and interviewed her, you know, I think a lot of this kind of was facilitated when she wrote her own memoirs. She kept referring back to when I wrote my memoirs, because I think that's when she did the work. That's when she really took the time to think about her life and her parents. And then she said to me, not just her parents, but their parents, because she needed to understand why her life was the way it was, why her father was so distant, why they covered up her mom's mental illness. And so she's done a lot of emotional work on her own, and we get the benefit of it from this movie, because there's, you know, she's available. You know, she's not hiding anything.
No,
she doesn't see any benefit in trying to be something she's not. I just thought it was enormous, just so moving. And that stuff with Ted really, really touched me. They clearly still adore each other, and I just, you know, I got a little lump in my throat with those two kids.
Yeah,
I still want them to work it out.
It just seemed to me that what she was saying essentially was, I'm not even trying to justify myself. I'm not, you know what, I'm not. If you're interested,
exactly.
Here's what I think. And it was, I thought it was great. I did, I think it was great.
I'm glad. I'm so happy you caught up with it.
Well, I haven't seen all of it, but I saw about an hour.
Well, you can see the next hour because it's on HBO. So that's the beauty of HBO.
All right, so you have a movie, one real movie. It's a Western movie called The Sisters Brothers. It has John C. Reilly, Joaquin Phoenix, and Jake Gyllenhaal. That's pretty heavy duty cast of actors, actually. Is this good, or am I going to be depressed and not want to even finish it?
No, it's not depressing. And Riz Ahmed, by the way, it's a foursome.
Turns
into kind of a four-hander, which is really fun. But no, this is one of those movies where I left thinking, well, that was a good movie. Is it a great movie? No, but it's a really good movie. It's based on a novel. It's
based
about
on a
novel
by
brothers.
A man named Lear, and I need a break, and I want to be a paperback writer.
Eli and Charlie Sisters are their name. That's why it's called The Sisters Brothers.
Oh, okay.
And they're hired to, it's 19th century, 1850s Oregon. And they're hired by, so it's the West as it's, you know, kind of the McCabe and Mrs. Miller era when it's the gold rush.
I love that movie.
Me too. I mean, that's what it
is. Love that movie.
And the country's in progress and it's being built and capitalism is coming to the West. And so they work for this titan, who one of his ideas has been stolen by a speculator. And so they are hired to go kill this guy. And so they set off for California, where they think he is. And then Jake plays the detective who's actually going to locate him, the malefactor, and then let them know where he is. So there, it's going to be a clash. You know, I mean, we have these two dyads, these two duos who are going to, you know, eventually meet up. So then after that initial setup, it's a picaresque. It's just these two brothers on the road on their horses bickering. They love each other, but they're very different temperamentally. So there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of observational humor. And then when the four of them finally do meet up, you know, hijinks ensue, although they're more serious than hijinks. But anyway, it's kind of a modestly paced modestly funny, good, smart, very literate, entertaining movie if that's your bag, you know?
Sounds like I should wait 6 months, watch it on cable.
You could probably do that. I mean, I just think it's for people, yeah, I mean, it's yet another revisionist Western. We see a lot of those. But it has good ideas, and like I said, it's a great cast. But yeah, it didn't send me out of the, you know, it didn't make me do handsprings, but it's a really good movie.
Is Riz Ahmed, is he the guy that I watched in The Night?
Yes.
Yeah. He was the convict?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the Star Wars movie.
Yeah. I didn't see the Star Wars movie. And he and Jake Gyllenhaal were actually in that wonderful movie Nightcrawler together. I don't know if you ever caught up with
that.
I never did.
Nigel?
It's good. It's really good. But they're great together. And Jake's fun. I mean, everybody's really, there's a lot of humor in it. And especially John C. Reilly and Jake Gyllenhaal are very funny. And yeah, there's a lot to recommend it.
I would say I got to see this as well, and I actually really enjoyed it. There's a scene involving a spider, and I will not say anything other than it still haunts me to this day.
Okay.
I know.
And also seeing John C. Reilly going through a store, and he points at something, he says, "What's that?" And the guy at the store says, "Oh, that's a toothbrush. You use it with this powder, and it helps clean your teeth." And he goes, "People do that, really?" And so the next scene, you see him trying to brush his teeth while reading instructions on how to do it, and it's just brilliant. So,
and then there's a great moment later in the movie involving the toothbrush with another character that I love. It's just subtle and observant and very funny.
All right, and you've got a documentary about Hal Ashby called Hal.
Yes, but now this is another really good artist documentary. I mean, you remember Hal Ashby,
I do.
Right?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy who did, well, he did Coming Home with Jane Fonda, and she's one of the people in this movie, but he did.
Did he do Shampoo also?
He did Shampoo.
Yeah.
He did The Last Detail. He did Being There, which is still one of the greatest, if not the greatest.
These are terrific movies.
He is a monument. I mean, and he never really gets his proper due, and so I think this film was made to give him his proper due.
Is he still alive?
So you have a,
Is he alive?
No, he died tragically young. He died in his 50s in 1989 of pancreatic cancer.
Okay.
He's in America's Who's Who.
And, you know, the arc of the movie, it's interesting because he is of that generation that came of age, you know, like the Scorsese's and the Coppolas. Now, but where they navigated the change to corporate studio blockbuster culture, he never did. He really chafed against it. And so even though he did work in the 80s. His most memorable movies were the 70s when he had much more artistic control over them. So it's kind of a dual, it's a biography, but it's also kind of how certain artists were just not, you know, built and not able to adapt to this new system. And it's ultimately a very sad story, but I'm glad they gave him this time, and you got lots of filmmakers like David O. Russell and Alexander Payne explaining what he meant to them, and Judd Apatow, you know, just how his filmmaking, his humanism informed their own work. And I just think it's magnificent that he got this, that he finally did get this recognition.
Thank you, Anne.
It's always a pleasure, everybody.
Anne Hornaday, boys and girls. And Nigel, Anne is in a podcast that you have something to do with that you can talk about.
Oh, yes, At the Movies with Arch and Anne. Arch is actually on the road. He's on the road to Texas today. But, yeah, we'll be taping later this morning right here at Chatter.
And Kevin, are you still doing that podcast?
Yeah, it's still alive.
How's that working out?
It's coming along.
Are you doing it in Chatter still, or do you have your own studio
now?
We
are still using your studio.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
No, it's my great pleasure.
But we will be moving out at some point next year, we believe, at this point.
Yeah, that's great. No, you can use it for you.
And by the way, before we go to break, I know this is miserable, except for the people on News Channel 8. I just want to show you a picture. There's a picture of Tom Hanks on the set in costume for the Mr. Rogers movie.
That's Tom Hanks?
Let me see.
That's
Tom Hanks as
Mr.
Rogers.
They're doing a Mr. Rogers movie even though they did the documentary?
Yes exactly.
Tom Hanks is the right guy to play Mr. Rogers.
He is the right guy, yeah. Isn't that uncanny how...
Tom Hanks or Kevin Hart?
Yeah, one of the other.
Know. Kevin Hart as Mr. Rogers would be great.
Really should be great.
All right, we will take a break. We will have news when we return. Kevin corrected me during the break. Kevin will not do the news. Kevin will just make fun of Nigel doing the news. And then will Carville be in news or will he be an old guy?
Old guy.
All right, great. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the ZipRecruiter ad, and this is the option A, not option B.
Going with A.
You know, our current campaign juxtaposes not smart and smart ways of doing things. The premise is hiring with other job sites is not smart. Hiring with ZipRecruiter, that's smart. Okay? Then it wants me to come up with things that are smart or not smart. But I'm not that smart myself.
So I'm just going to say ZipRecruiter is, if you're hiring people.
Well, sticking your tongue in a light socket.
Not smart.
There you go.
Not right. smart.
Yeah, teasing a shark.
Coming to Chatter for breakfast?
Smart.
There you go.
Smart. Yes. It says you can pick one of these pre-written not smart statements for each read. There are job sites that send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through, and that's not smart. There are job sites that make you wait for the right candidates to apply to your job, and that's not smart. You know what's not smart? Using your relatives to fill in at work while you look for staff. Which reminds me of the movie with the Henry Winkler, a movie where the guy sits there, he does Flintstones things, he's the night watchman. Oh, it was the first
shift.
Michael
night
Keaton
night
movie.
Shift.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Oh, it's a great movie. And the guy gets a job because and the guy's a dope.
Yes.
You know? You know what's not smart? Making the lottery the centerpiece of your retirement plan. And you know what's not smart? Letting your friends pick your karaoke song. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. And the rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Yeah. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That is ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. And one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Told me since the age of two what men will do to get through to you.
So Nigel said you're going to listen to this. It's going to sound like Amy Winehouse. It does sound exactly like Amy
doesn't
Winehouse.
It?
The late Amy Winehouse. This comes Britannia. This is Britannia. And she writes, she's writing this, right? Me and my husband Patrick are big fans of your podcast. I wanted to share a song with you. Full disclosure, I wrote, produce, and own the track, so it's completely free and clear to use. It's sung by the amazing Britannia.
So I don't think it's written by her.
Okay.
The email, rather.
Oh, it's, well, it says all the best Brit.
Yeah, so maybe it's
so it's a different one.
Different Brit.
You
I
can
think.
Find our Instagram on Britannia and YouTube, a double underscore on YouTube. Our track is available via iTunes under Paid by Britannia. This is really good. Michael, if people want to send their music or their good friends' music in, how do they do it? Ask Bootsy.
Please send your music to the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com. Sorry, Bootsy's been playing with the microphone.
Is there anything that we are selling?
I'm currently offering one baby boy. He's currently 15 months old and walking like a champion. And after having a solo night with him, I think he is looking for a different home.
Did you do a good job?
He's here.
Yeah, that's a good job.
I have so much more appreciation for my wonderful wife.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep. I stared at the monitor.
You had the Ryder Cup on, though.
Yeah.
At least you had Ryder Cup to keep you company.
That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Okay. Nigel, you're going to do the news, and Kevin is going to be your most fierce critic.
I'm grading.
Yeah. Yes, I'm so excited for this. Hold on, let me just get your microphone set there, Kevin. There we go.
Now it's off.
That's perfect. Right
Can I mention, by the way, that at Chatter, we're going to have a lot of football games on Saturday and Sunday and Monday night. And
you it's a great here. Game tomorrow night. This is the place
Penn
to see
State.
It.
Penn State against Ohio State. Kevin, do you have any particular interest in that? You got a boy who goes there.
I do, and I will be heading up there later this afternoon to Old State College, PA, and I'll be in the stadium tomorrow night. I've never been to a Penn State game since the 80s.
Right.
I went to a Maryland-Penn State game in the 80s. It's a different experience now.
I went to Penn State.
It's a whiteout tomorrow.
Penn State, do you remember Michigan, the score from the Courtney 80s? Brown, Tom Brady. Yeah. Bar Burton in those days. Yeah.
So what do you think? What do you think? Ohio State's awfully good.
I think actually the line would indicate that the public believes that they've erred in the point spread, that Ohio State is going to kill Penn State. Therefore, I believe Penn State's going to win the game outright. That's what I think tomorrow night.
And that would be.
I don't really have a rooting interest. I'm not a big Penn State
kid.
Fan.
Well, but you got a son.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever. Okay. It's my third. Yeah. I barely even know where he is.
Notre Dame hosting Stanford tomorrow night. Another big game. We wish our friend Brian Polian well, who I will be seeing at Virginia Tech.
I am picking Notre Dame based solely on the fact that I like Brian Polian.
Yeah.
That's the
only all the reason you need.
Yeah. Nigel?
We mentioned the Ryder Cup. We'll get to that in a second. But you talk about college football, and I think we need to get to this story right now involving Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State.
Mike Gundy is a man.
He's
40.
Well, he's 50
but in this
now.
Case, he acted like a bozo.
This story, which I had not seen until you mentioned
to me,
is Simply unbelievable.
Yes.
So there was a senior receiver named Jalen McCleskey who had chosen to redshirt and transfer, okay?
J-Mac, yep.
You know, really not a big deal.
Don't play in the fifth game. Just play in the four and transfer. This is exactly what happened with the quarterback at Clemson.
So
Where, by the way, that coach, Dabo Sweeney, was a stand-up guy and didn't dangle him like Nick Saban is doing to Jalen Hurts. And let the kid go and let him go somewhere else to play, which is fine.
Another difference is between Gundy and Dabo Sweeney. Dabo Sweeney has a long history of winning.
He's won a national championship. Gundy has a long history of having really good hair, though. He's got great hair, Gundy.
There is that going for him. So early in the day, Gundy announced, okay, this transfer is going on. Player availability occurs at about 5:30, so at 5 o'clock, reporters gather outside the locker room getting ready for that when one of the members of the SID staff, Gavin Lang, came out and said...
it's a flack.
Yeah.
Gundy didn't even have enough guts to do this himself.
Yeah, Gundy sent out a henchman to do it. Sent Tom Hagen out to do this.
To terrorize people.
Yes. That if any reporter asked a player a question about McCleskey transferring... that players would no longer be available to any media for the rest of the season.
Rest of the season. And this is, by the way, this is not fake news. This kid is transferring.
Right. And
this is actual news.
Yes.
If you cover the team, how can you not go after this?
Then they said that they would face the same repercussions if they talked about the threat of the ban as well.
It's unbelievable.
Everyone gathered together.
You can do that in Stillwater. Apparently.
Yeah, and they did it.
And they did they listen to him?
Yes.
Yes.
They did.
Oh,
they buckled.
God.
They buckled. But I would recommend...
But there was a professor of journalism at Oklahoma State who found out about it, and that's how we know about this.
Yeah, and there's also a great piece in something called The O'Callaghan.
Gutless move by Mike Gundy.
It's
gutless.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And by the way, all you have to do is tell the players, if they ask you about this, say no comment. And you don't have any of this sort of media storm. It's just ridiculous.
We have a lot of people coming into chatter today. That's because it's Ryder Cup Day.
Right.
People are watching the Ryder Cup, which is great for us. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about the Ryder Cup. Where is my school?
The Ryder Cup is ongoing. The morning session is over.
The USA up 3-1 after the morning session. In the afternoon.
More importantly, they kept Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy to 0 points in that morning session and were able to hold off Paul Casey, who I believe had 7 birdies on his own. Otherwise, the news of Tiger and Patrick, Team America, Captain America, got skunked by Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood.
Well, Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood are very good players. Yep. Molinari is the British Open champion who beat Tiger head-to-head.
And one of the best putters in the world.
Yeah. What's Tiger's record now in Ryder Cup? It's a losing overall
record. 13-18-3, because he was 13-17-3 yesterday.
There you go.
We did that on PTI. He and Phil have losing records overall. But I don't know.
I don't count their records because you have to think about where they've been for the majority of their career, which is focusing on majors and recognizing that this has been and still continues to be an exhibition. I think you'll see that in these next few iterations. They will pick up some points because they now see value in it because of the way that the young guys, the crew with Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, DJ, all these guys put much more value in this than the older guys had.
Pretty coarse.
Gorgeous.
Nice, of course, I didn't know France had golf.
And look at how many holes. Look at how many holes run into each other. It's going to be a great singles course on Sunday.
Oh, I just think it's very, very
huge
nice. Do you have any other observations of the morning session? Because I think you thought Furyk did the right thing by putting Koepka out. One.
I think he was. I think he was validated in the end. I did not necessarily want a quieter team like Koepka and Finau, but when their match went to 18, and you saw them stripe drives down that fairway. They are two very good long ball players, and you then saw Justin Rose essentially had to play the hole by himself. So it held, but I would have expected Tiger and Patrick going out first.
Did not happen.
No.
All right, go ahead, Nigel.
Just to update you on the scores in the afternoon foursomes, all square.
Well, wait, it's foolish to do that now because
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. Don't you care?
No.
Because Webb Simpson and Bubba Watson are one up.
No, but it's but I'm
listening now and I know how it ended. So that's
by
really
the time,
old news.
Yes, by the time people get this, it's not going to matter the partials.
And the Americans clinch the Ryder Cup.
There you go.
To the NFL.
It's not
Mr.
like
Tony.
Telling people what the weather currently is right here, like Tony's been doing every day for 2 weeks.
Every day.
How about that golf round, Dad?
Although the weather's pretty much held up from morning until night.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, that strange yellow ball in the sky, if you live in D.C., that you might, run into.
We haven't seen it yet.
Orange orb. Yes.
We haven't seen it yet. It's 8:25 in the morning as we do this accurately, and we haven't seen that yet. So
NFL last night, how about that vaunted Vikings defense? They let Jared
what
Goff
happened to that?
I'm not quite sure.
By the way, the game Cousins. Pushed. The game pushed.
Game pushed, so that's, yeah. The monkey and Chuck Todd. Both take a tie.
And Jeff Ma.
Oh, and Jeff Ma. That's
Jeff
right.
Jeff Ma had Minnesota, too.
Everyone had that game. Yeah.
Yes. Jared Goff.
Well, everybody had the push in the game.
Right.
Jared Goff, 465 yards and five touchdowns as they beat the Minnesota Vikings 38-31.
Let's talk about this for a second. Just let me get Kevin's thoughts on this. Kirk Cousins completed 36 passes for 422 yards and three touchdowns, which is a great night. The other guy, Jared Goff, who Jeff Fisher could not stand.
Yes.
Could not stand him. Completed 26 passes for 465.
You think Sean McVay's pretty good?
That's almost 20 yards of completion. And that was exactly what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
Is Sean McVay, is he better than everyone?
He's really good. And certainly a lot of Redskin fans wish that he were still here.
Right.
As the head coach.
Right.
But that was never going to happen, Tony. He's excellent. He's so smart. Everybody that knew him early on said, this guy is going to be a future head coach. And Tony, he's surrounded himself with veteran coaches. Wade Phillips is like 40 years older than him.
That's right.
Is his defensive coordinator. They're really good, the Rams.
And it's really overnight. It's good. In 2 years.
Yeah.
It's him.
A year ago, they thought the Rams stunk. I mean, going into last year.
But Goff was a bust.
To one of right Nigel's points, Mike Zimmer has built his reputation on defense. Yeah. Sean McVay clearly won this battle.
Well, he said
Kirk did not cover very well last night. Didn't tackle very well either.
Couldn't stop anyone.
Couldn't stop anybody. But he did fumble at the end.
He
and
did.
Of course, everybody talks about that.
So I was saying,
here we go.
Go ahead. No, I'm a Kirk fan. I'm just saying it's much like the political landscape. Kirk Cousins, it's a Rorschach test. I mean, Kirk supporters like Kevin are going to point out how phenomenally he played, and he did. And Kirk bashers are going to say he did what he always does. He's a stat hog. He lost. He fumbled when they had the ball and a chance to tie. I'm just saying that's the argument. So he gave you exactly what you wanted to see, whichever side you were on.
I watched the first half. I did not watch the second half. Did they make many roughing the passer calls?
No, there wasn't any called last. Not one. Called last night.
I mean, it wasn't even a sack.
This the new NFL? Is it going to be 55-45 all the time?
No, because some teams can defend. Mike Zimmer said after the game he's never had a team this bad in the secondary.
The scoring's way up, though, this year.
Yeah. Yes.
Way up.
I assume that was a part of roughing the pass.
Yeah, well, you give a team 15 yards, it's going to have an impact.
Yeah, with the clock stopped.
Yeah.
It helps out. All
right. Staying with
1,000 yards offense.
Were you surprised by the result or no?
No, I thought it would be a great game. I think the Rams are right now, and the NFL season changes so dramatically week to week, but they are head and shoulders above everybody else. And I'm shocked at how bad Minnesota is defensively.
Yeah, because
the Rams can't be that good defensively. They gave up.
They're better. They're better.
Listen to this from that box score. I mean, you pointed out how many yards Goff had.
Per completion.
Cup had 9 for 162 and 2 touchdowns. Cooks had 7 for 116 and a touch. Woods had 5 for 101 and a touch. Gurley had 4 for 73 and a touch.
And what did they average per carry when they ran it? It seemed like it was 8 yards a carry.
Not as much as 20 for 100.
McVay's better than the others.
He's really good. He's very good.
Why did the Patriots let Brandon Cooks go?
I don't know why everybody's let Brandon Cooks
I
go.
I think they felt like he was going to ask for too much money, and so they decided to head that off at the pass. But, yeah, because they have no one to throw the ball to
now.
Really don't. Staying with the NFL, Carolina Panthers yesterday signed Pro Bowl free agent safety Eric Reed, who was not re-signed by the San Francisco 49ers in the offseason amid the controversy of his grievance with the NFL. You might remember he was the first player to join Colin Kaepernick in kneeling during the national anthem and had filed a grievance.
So let's talk about this. And this will be our last news story, and we'll save some news stories for old guy as we do a strange day today. This is not Colin Kaepernick, who is the big fish. Colin Kaepernick is not going to get signed. No matter what Mark Geragos says, it appears that Colin Kaepernick will not get signed. But Wilbon, who constantly refers to NFL owners as having a plantation mentality, yesterday did not even concede that this was progress. This is progress. This is a guy who famously knelt, who's going to kneel,
All right, and he got signed by Carolina, where there is, and I find this interesting too, a new owner. Jerry Richardson was a victim of his own excesses with women, and he was told, get rid of the team. He sold it to a guy named Tepper. I know nothing about this guy, but in his first year, he said, I'm signing this guy. This is a football player.
He can help us.
He can help us. I want this guy, and I don't care if he kneels. It's okay. And to me, this is a very – Wilbon poo-pooed it, said it wasn't a big deal. Kevin, I think it is a big deal for where the NFL is.
Well, I mean, so far, Tony, 4 weeks into the season or 3.5 weeks approaching that, aren't you surprised at how minimal this issue has been this season?
Yes.
We haven't really heard about it
the issue,
during any
because
Sunday
Because the issue
afternoon.
Is roughing the passer.
Yeah. That's trumped
issue.
That issue.
Yes.
But I can't even tell you right now how many players are kneeling versus...
No, it has not been an issue.
Not been an issue.
But wait till you get a little closer to the election and the president will make it an issue.
Perhaps. But I wonder if other owners were displeased with the Panthers signing Eric Reid, who may make it an issue all of a sudden this weekend. He could.
But other players have been doing it.
But to your point,
some of the Dolphins have been doing
it. To your point, he can play.
He's
really good.
I don't think Kaepernick can play right now.
Kaepernick's a backup at best.
Don't think he can play.
But I will say, your position on Kaepernick early, before it became readily apparent that what was going on, was if any team felt they were Colin Kaepernick away from winning the Super Bowl,
they'd take him.
They would take him. That may not be the case now.
All right, we're good on this. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with old guy. James Carville will join us with a couple of picks that... Maybe we'll understand and maybe won't.
UL Monroe.
James had a bad week last week.
Boy.
He was 0-2-1, I think, something like that. All right, so that's when we come back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is my favorite ad because it's brief, it's smart, and it gets me out of here early. This is the Spotify ad.
Ooh,
did you know that every single episode of The Tony Kornheiser Show is now on Spotify? Yes, that same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite shows like this one and discover new ones like the Kevin Sheehan Show, just not too many because we get jealous very easily. To subscribe to our show, search for the Tony Kornheiser Show, tap follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify, they're streaming right now and now and now.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is a group called the Teddy Bears. This is a song called To Know Him Is to Love Him. In the area of critical commentary, and I think I have this right, this song was written by Phil Spector,
yes,
who is no longer with us. Well, he's incarcerated.
Yes, he's on
the other alive, side. But he is incarcerated.
Just like Ronnie said.
And this was allegedly, if I'm correct, on the headstone of his late father.
Yes, it was.
To know him is to love him. And Phil Spector wrote this song, got a bunch of girls and boys together from the neighborhood, and they sang To Know Him Is to Love Him, and it was a number one hit. And it's got to be 60 years ago.
It was released on this day in 1958.
60 years old.
Yeah.
Do you have anything more on this?
No, just that the Teddy Bears, I mean, they got that name.
This was it.
Yeah, this was it. But the name for the group came from the Elvis Presley song.
Oh, Teddy Bear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Beatles did a very great cover of this, which I think is on their anthology album. It's just hauntingly beautiful. Listen, I know he's not the best.
Oh, but he was great at his other stuff.
He was so great.
He was great at his other stuff.
Hey, OJ could tote the rock. We can compartmentalize.
Yeah, but he's just not a great person. Yeah.
All right, so we were supposed to have James Carville on. We always are supposed to have James Carville on. And he's not with us necessarily.
Yes. Try again.
And no, we're not.
No, we're
well,
not.
You. It's pointless.
Louisiana Monroe's laying seven to Georgia State.
Yeah.
UL Lafayette's getting 50 from Bama.
So we're not. And I love James.
Yes.
I've known James for 20, 25 years. I love James. I love Mary.
The best.
The greatest in the world. It's great when he's on, but he's.
And you've done this for, let's say, 15 seasons with him, at
probably.
Least.
And yeah. He's here and he's not.
And four or five of them, he started bad like this and just went away for the rest of the year.
That's true.
It does sometimes
that's
happen.
That's true.
Because he was 0-2-1 last week.
Right.
And he's like 1-4-1 or something
well,
like that.
He can start doing some double plays and triple
could do
plays.
That to try and get even.
Yeah.
He could try to chase it, but it doesn't really matter.
But yeah, when you're. You know, you're hard to find. You're hard for your man to find when you're 1-4-1 sometimes.
All right, so let's go back to the news of the day, which is the hearing yesterday. I watched it as much as I could.
This was great. I was at the gym and it was on, and I said, let's put that on while I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And another group of old men my age.
Where is this gym?
My age, Columbia.
Yeah.
You know, another group of old men my age looked at it and said, what is that? Get rid of that. Put sports on. And I said, hey, I'm watching this now. And as soon as I moved away to the other side, the sports went back on.
Really?
But I was watching, and I watched as well at PTI. And I said this a number of times, that it reminded me of the Watergate hearings. And I mean, to me, I like to watch this with other people around, not just... I'm not a person who likes to watch everything alone. I like the communal experience. Where did you watch? Or didn't you?
Well, I was at work, which made it tough early. I had a client in, and we were sort of checking in, checking out. And then
yeah.
I had it
well,
on.
I didn't watch all of it.
I actually spent a lot of time just listening to it, which is a vastly different experience, as uh-huh. you know, because you can't
yeah.
you can't sort of see what's going on. But... So, yeah, I was listening in the presence of others, but there wasn't a lot of commentary going on. It was kind of background.
What did you take away from it? What was your initial thought?
I thought, like I think most reasonably open-minded people would think, is that both people were convincing in their own right. I felt like there were some things that if I were a particular supporter of Judge Kavanaugh's, I would have wanted to see. I don't understand why he ran away from the whole FBI investigation thing. I feel like if I were him, I would say, sure.
I thought he said, I'll do whatever the committee wants.
Yeah, but
knowing
that is
the committee
what he
wouldn't
said,
do it.
That's different than saying, yes.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. An FBI investigation would exonerate me.
Right.
So, of course, I would welcome that. If the committee wants to do it. That's a different answer than saying, I'll do whatever the committee wants to do.
That was the area, Tony, I felt like most people watching felt that he was probably being evasive to a certain
yeah.
degree, even though there were reasons why he didn't want to go there because of the time that would be spent and elections coming up and everything.
So just but be forthright about that. And I felt like there were
times... He could
have
explained that better, I agree.
I felt, personally, there were some answers that he... filibustered a
Carville
little bit.
Carville is here? Well,
oh, yeah.
James is here?
Well, yeah, what happened was he called, and when you call back on the phone, it goes to the bar, so I'm going to have to call him back real
all right,
quick.
Call him yeah, back. Yeah. Call him
well,
back.
We'll get Kevin's quick 2 cents.
Go ahead, yes, thing. Kevin, go ahead.
My 2 cents, I just dropped my phone, and I can't find my phone. Gary, can you look on the floor for my phone? Do something
yes,
right now.
Yes, I will find your phone.
I was watching yesterday from here as I was recording the Kevin Sheehan Show,
yeah.
Which you can get on
access.
iTunes
yeah,
and Google Play and a lot of and the KevinSheehanShow.com.
Right.
I was watching her testimony from here, but I just thought, credible. I just felt, and I think Gary felt the same way, I thought his opening statement was very good. And I didn't necessarily agree with what you and Howard felt, that it was sort of the Trump game plan. I thought it came from a place of family
okay.
and protection of family.
We'll
but
get,
anyway,
we'll get,
but
we'll
I want to hear if he's got UL Lafayette
yeah.
plus the 50.
James Carville joins us now. And last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever, was a tough week for you. We want to see the rebound. We're anxious to hear what you have to say. What are your games, James?
Double plays, James.
My games are South Carolina and Kentucky. I see it at Pick.
Okay,
sure. I like Kentucky.
Kentucky's 4-0, right,
real.
James? Kentucky's
yeah. I think they're real. I mean, they beat Florida down there. I think they're real. And I saw this. I'm not going to pick a side on this, but is this a misprint? The Clemson Syracuse line opened at 25.5 and it went to 18.5?
No, it's still 25.
No, it's still right around 25.5. The public's
but
all over Syracuse.
It opened 18.5 and it went.
Yes, that's true.
And that's, you don't see that very often.
That's a big jump.
At all. And what do you see on the Arkansas A&M game?
I think it's 21.
All right. I like A&M. A&M played. They played Alabama, and Alabama beat them bad, but it was closer than the score indicated.
So it's Texas A&M minus 21?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Arkansas is terrible.
Arkansas is terrible. Well, can I go back to Kentucky? Because you're an LSU guy. You know, you've seen Kentucky football for a long time. It stinks. It stunk for a million years. I'm wondering how you're persuaded to take them.
Because I got a lot of friends in Kentucky, and they are a lot of global people who can't stand Kentucky, but they say that Kentucky is really good. And they got a dynamite running back, and that guy's always been able to coach. remember when Florida State and Nebraska were the two most relevant teams in college football.
So you're going to take Kentucky. That's a pick game, right?
Yes.
Kev?
Yes.
Well, it's minus one, but we'll give it to him as a pick. Right. We'll give it to him as a pick.
Were you interested, James? Were you interested in Clemson and Syracuse at all, or no?
No, I just noticed as I was going through the chart, I just
big jump.
You don't see a line go from 18.5 to 25. And
that's
half.
An enormous
well,
jump.
Well, Syracuse is undefeated. They're 4-0.
Yeah, they're pretty good this year.
This is James. This is where I'd expect you to lay the points.
Okay, I'll give 25 and a half. Give me
Syracuse. Oh wait, he's taking the points.
I want him. Yeah, you know what? Makes sense. You don't get that kind of jump. Take him.
Syracuse plus 25.5.
Correct.
That is enormous.
Yeah,
give it to him at 26.
All right, we're giving it to you at 26. We're gonna give you 26. Right. What else you got?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's three.
We want you to do well. We want you to be 3-0.
I want to do well. I always start slow. I'd get ahead of steam.
All right. Thank you, James.
Thank you much. All right.
Be good. James Carville. So the policy of this show is we have on people like James Carville and Chuck Todd, who know more about politics than anybody in the world, and I will not ask them a question.
I'm laughing that in the last 2 days you've had Chuck Todd and James Carville
on. Not a question.
And yet your only take on the hearings have come from Kevin and I.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
It's smart.
So let me go back. Smart. Let me just go back to the hearings for a second, because this is, I don't know if I said this before. I believe her. I believe her 100%. But the one part of me that seems possible, because he was very convincing, he was very persuasive, he was very angry, very indignant, which is I think what you're supposed to be, particularly if you are innocent. I think it's possible. I think what hurts her is the lack of corroboration from everybody else who she identified as being there, and the fact that part of me in my head thinks, well, maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it's mistaken identity. Although she said, I'm 100% certain. So I am forced to say somebody's lying, well, and I can't bring myself to say who's lying.
When you cite the lack of corroboration, you have sworn statements from people who she alleges were there saying they don't remember.
That's right.
But that's hardly an exhaustive effort to corroborate.
That's why
no one has attempted truly to corroborate this.
How could you not subpoena Judge?
Yeah,
how could you not bring him in?
Because you've read some of the stuff he's written in his lifetime, and you thought that's not going to be good for anybody?
It can't be good for anybody.
It can't be good for anybody. I would line up right
Bootsy.
Behind you.
Bootsy, who does Bootsy believe?
Yeah, I believe her, and it's just a mess. And there's
it's very sad.
And it's very sad.
I don't know when he talked about my entire family has been destroyed and I've been destroyed. If you get this job, you haven't been destroyed. But
right.
It's terrible. It's terrible what happened. And my feeling about this, the one takeaway that annoys me the most is I believe that every single person there, every elected official, cares only about his own or her own re-election.
Sure.
That's all they care about.
Yes. They're all performing.
They're grandstanding.
Sure.
They're grandstanding.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. And the Republican senators couldn't grandstand while interviewing Dr. Blasey Ford because it would have looked terrible. So as soon as that was over, they grandstanded with Kavanaugh. And screamed at everybody else. I mean, that was... Isn't that the
point? Did Lindsey Graham actually drop the mic and just walk out of there? Because I don't think he was there after he spoke. Was he there?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
How
did you feel?
I mean, Michael was with the baby boy.
You never see that stuff in Parliament, would you?
Yeah, I mean,
you're screaming, yell.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love British politics so much. Is just, you know, it's just totally out of control. So it's fascinating to see this sort of thing on this side of the pond. And I'm like you. They both seem believable. I don't know who to say isn't telling the whole truth. Maybe there is.
Aren't we forced into the position of saying if we believe one, the other one can't be telling the truth?
I mean,
it would seem to be a zero-sum game.
I don't know how it works other than that.
Yeah.
Troubling.
It is troubling.
Very courageous on her part.
Yes.
Very courageous. He wants the job, and I thought he was very effective.
He definitely wants the job.
Very, very effective. Very effective, I thought. Anyway, okay, so we'll get out of here.
Do you want an update on the Ryder Cup scores?
No, I don't.
I don't want to spoil it. You know what? Because we'll just look stupid. Because 3 hours from now, we'll just look like imbeciles.
I know. We still have a couple of minutes. Did you want to do anything on the Redskins cheerleaders rule changes? Do you care about that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's clear that what the Washington Redskins have done is said, yeah, we did this really badly. We're not going to do it
right,
again.
Yeah, we're gonna change things up.
Us too.
I do have one story that I would like to share with you. This is from a few weeks ago, but it's just coming to our attention right now. This takes place over in Landshut or Landshut, Germany, where a triathlete by the name of Yaroslav Bobrowski has a special diet, fasting at times for 20 hours a stretch, and then when he eats, he really eats a lot. And he likes to go to this sushi bar that offered an $18.49.
I'm sorry. Is Germany not a landlocked country?
Yeah.
No.
It's not?
No. So I think yes, it opens up in the North Sea.
It's landlocked.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to a sushi bar in Germany. I'm not going to a sushi bar in Germany.
Planes and stuff now. You can get.
I'm not doing it.
It's an international city.
Well, Yaroslav loves his sushi.
Yeah.
And with $18.49, all you can eat.
Yeah. Nigel, I stand corrected. Nigel is correct.
It's on the North Sea.
Well, I am from Europe, so it would be embarrassing if I didn't know that. In a matter of minutes, it says that Bobrowski polished off 100 plates of food. Eaters estimated that.
How much did that cost?
You've been here 4 hours.
$18.49. Just $18.49.
I mean, how much would it have cost if they were
millions
charging by the piece? Did Phil dump in the water?
Yeah. This is why you can't play him in foursomes.
No, is foursomes alternate shot?
Yes.
No, you can't because he's putting it in the water all the time.
They said he consumed as much as 18 pounds of sushi.
Oh, my God, really?
And the owner said, look, you can't do this. You're going to put me out of business. Well, and he's a regular customer there, but the owner said, he says, look, I can eat 13 plates, okay, but 100 plates is really out of line. And the problem was Yaroslav was not drinking anything, and that's really where
that's
the restaurant
where
makes
their money,
as you would know as a restaurant
owner.
Sake. Right. He just had one cup of tea, so the owner of the place has now banned him for life.
You have to ban him.
By the way, Kevin might know about this, and this is not a joke. I believe Alex Smith has like a similar... I've read where Alex Smith, you know this?
What, the diet?
Yeah. He does like a weird thing where he fasts for, I think, like 16 hours and then eats during
and then binge eats.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
Apparently it's some new, weight loss thing or energy thing.
Sounds dopey.
He's in great shape.
Yeah. So we're not going to have an all-you-can-eat buffet here at Chatter?
Well,
we are, but it's not going to be sushi.
AYCE, baby.
Yeah, we're not going to. We are going to have all-you-can-eat, but it's not going to be something that will bankrupt
us. Wings, y'all.
All right. We'll come back. We'll do email and jingles when we return. Jingle and emails when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I don't want to hear about baseball. We'll save that for another day. I only want to hear about your childhood on a farm. In the Green Mountain State. Waking up at 5, walked a mile to feed them. Then I had to shovel the manure. I couldn't fix the tractor, I couldn't fix anything. So my folks sent me out of town. Brown cows, they make good ice cream. Brown cows. Can you eat around the sink? Brown cows. Yeah, those classic moments on the farm with the Jersey cows.
What a fat is it? That's awesome.
Fantastic. Joe Arrow's singing.
Great job, Joe.
Elliot Olshansky had the idea for it. Elliot and Joe worked out the lyrics, and Joe did the vocal. It's fantastic.
Van Halen's right now.
Yeah. Let me thank the Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday. Let me thank James Carville for showing up in a weird way in the middle of a segment. Let me thank Howard Fineman for setting the show off on the right path.
And thank the somehow still unemployed Kevin Sheehan.
Yep. Yes. Well, he's got a job.
And Bootsy.
I'm going to hang out here all day.
He has an activity, Tony.
Bootsy, let me thank our sponsors, Spotify, Lowe's, and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, leave us a review. Kevin, you could have this. You could have a crowd like this. You're just...
You need to be consistent in the show.
You too could have a bunch of people in the same building.
Having done it, I didn't know you wanted me to have one.
I want you to have a crowd.
Okay.
From Chris in Austin, Texas. I can just hear SG3 now. New year, new team, same result. Strip, sack, fumble, game over. Mark Hoff in Durwood, Maryland. You'll be pleased to know that Nolan's Pub is still there on East Park Avenue in Long Beach, ready to serve your congressional hearing needs. Sends me a picture of Nolan's, which is wonderful. That's exactly where I watched the Watergate hearings, at Nolan's Bar.
Wow.
Yeah, long time ago. Mike in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Dr. Ford has accused Judge Kavanaugh of assaulting her at a house in Maryland. Could this be the same Maryland house that Tony and Michael stopped at on I-95? No.
Does
she have recollection of ordering food that took 20 minutes to be served at this house that could help identify the location of the alleged crime? I will hang up and listen. From Howard Smith in Los Angeles. You've left me craving a 3-degree arc swing ratchet. My only worry is that next year's 2-degree arc swing ratchet will make my 3-degree arc swing ratchet outdated and obsolete. Could you please allay my fears? Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry
about it. Don't worry about it.
Allay.
From Steve the Sycophant, your listener's stories of rides in varying types of aircraft remind me of my humiliating experience while in a tour helicopter over the Grand Canyon. Before going up, I told my wife, relax. I rode in choppers in Vietnam. This will be a piece of cake. What I didn't think about was my occasional UE rides were spent behind the pilots, happily sitting in a jury-rigged chair on top of a couple of flak jackets. The bottom of a UE isn't armored, and you want to protect those parts of your anatomy nearest and dearest to you. I'd be occupied talking on the radio, coordinating with units on the ground, and not spending much time looking out the open sides of the UE. For the Grand Canyon ride, I was beside the pilot in the front seat. I suffered from acrophobia, but was doing fine looking at the ground below, watching some elk in the forest. Then in a split second, we're over the Grand Canyon, and I'm looking straight down several thousand feet. My wife said I leaned back so hard she thought I would break the seat. I broke into a cold sweat, which lasted for the rest of the trip. This is what happens to me when I get in an airplane. As I shakily exited the helicopter, my wife very sympathetically said, "Are you okay?" And I realized my ersatz macho image was forever eradicated. Keep on potting. From Colin McKinnon in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the Tony Kornheiser Show podcast. I don't go anywhere, so you can listen to me everywhere. That's not bad. Save that. I don't go anywhere, so you can listen to me everywhere. Mike from Burke, Virginia, who crushes me whenever he gets the opportunity. Love the Who's Who story, and for once, Eliza was right. Once upon a time, when I was but a lad, I got a letter from Who's Who among distinguished American high school students telling me that I was eligible to have my name and accomplishments memorialized and bound in rich Corinthian leather or something like that. I laughed, my parents laughed, however, they somehow got a hold of my grandmother's address, wrote to her, and she did not laugh and bought 4 copies of the book and paid extra to have my name stamped in gold on the cover. Probably set grandma back a few dollars, and even in 1976, I didn't actually throw that book out until I went to law school. No, I understand that. When you're young, when you get a plaque, when you're distinguished, when you're young, I understand it. When you're old, not so much. Charlie Burtz in Springfield, Virginia. I dug out my 1982 calendars to confirm, and yes, I was involved in an axe throwing competition while blackout drunk. I remember it mainly because we were discussing drop foot disease with Sansi, who'd had 100 strikeouts that night. Tiger had just won his first comeback on the junior high circuit. Cosby was mixing our drinks, then we flew home in an open air bomber. Mark Waterston in Pasadena, California. I'm interested in visiting Chatter. Here's my dilemma. 1, I hate chili. 2, as a Cubs fan, I love Wilbon's irrational pessimism about the team, which makes my frustration seem restrained and not insane. So what should I order? We're a full-service restaurant.
Yeah.
You don't have to order the chili if you don't want it.
Yeah, there's lots of things.
Get cheeseburgers.
Although the chili is
chili's
just
good.
Delicious.
You know what my favorite dish is?
What's that?
It's the ahi tuna tacos.
No.
That's my favorite. One more from Phil Destito, in Rome, New York, which is in upstate New York near Syracuse. Just curious because I haven't heard anyone say it lately. Are you and the gang still pinning the emailers to the map, or did it get relegated to the bottom of the prize closet? I will hang up and listen. Have we pinned?
No, we don't have a place to
we
put
don't
the
map.
Map.
We don't,
so we don't have
map.
A map.
Yeah.
We don't have
we
the map.
We still have the map.
We got a million people here. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You know what? Get me out of here.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
No need to tell me twice. No need to read my rights. I'm ready for tonight. I got a feeling that you'll join me.
So stack your money up, girl, you know what to do. While you're working 80-hour weeks, but his checks don't cha-ching. Nursing him back to help your years pass best and all that good. You've been claiming ain't been paying rent. You got Monday through Friday, or I evict love and walk away. Up in 18, working on the same three dreams. Now I'm tired and fed up, feel so tired and used. Can't go back and only die these wounds.
just a stick, not greedy, but